of heights to the depths of the sea.
Moreover, verse 16, the Lord stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of the Philistines and the Arabians who were near the Ethiopians. And they came up into Judah, notice, and they invaded it, and they carried away all the possessions that were found in the king's house, and also his sons and his wives, so that there was not a son left to him except Jehoahaz, the youngest of these sons. And Jehoahaz is just another name for Ahaziah.
Welcome, everyone. You're listening to Truth in Christ Radio, a Bible teaching radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Rochester with senior pastor and teacher Rob Kellogg. The scripture says that the Lord stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of the Philistines and the Arabians. This was another judgment against Jehoram to bring enemies against him to trouble his reign. This was a fitting judgment against Jehoram. In trying to protect his own throne, he murdered all his brothers and eventually found that all his sons were taken except one. Now let's join Pastor Rob with his lesson for today.
God is about to humble you. And notice what the Lord says to Jehoram. Because you have not walked, or let me finish this. In this case, it was not a good thing. And notice something specific that the Lord mentioned. He mentioned David, his father. Now, David wasn't his immediate father, but father in the sense of his ancestor and progenitor of the dynasty of Judah. But notice the comparison that God is drawing between David, who was an upright and deemed an upright man and a great king, versus Jehoram and his ungodly character. We know that David was a man after God's own heart. He was known as the sweet psalmist of Israel, but unfortunately, Jehoram was none of these. And so when the Lord says, "Thus says the Lord God of your father, David," what the Lord is doing is setting up a comparison. In other words, David was really awesome, but not so much you. And he says, "Thus says the Lord God of your father David, because you have not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat your father, or in the ways of Asa, king of Judah, his father and his grandfather, but," verse 13, "you have walked in the way of the kings of Israel, and you've made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to play the harlot, like the harlotry of the house of Ahab, and you've also killed your brothers, those of your father's household, who were better than yourself." And notice again that although Jehoshaphat followed tradition concerning his heir, Jehoram's brother were better than him because the Lord said so. "Behold, the Lord will strike your people with a serious affliction, your children and your wives and all your possessions, and you will become very sick with the disease of your intestines, until your intestines come out by reason of the sickness day by day." I don't know about you, but I can take a cut on the leg. I can take a bruise. I can take, you know, things of that nature. But to have something going on in your intestines is quite the unfortunate thing. If you've had a stomach bug that lasted more than a few days, you know what I'm talking about. And this was much, much worse. But notice that when we turn from the Lord, that we are not the only one who suffers, because sin is not committed in a vacuum. It affects everyone around us. In fact, in Ezekiel, it says this. He says, because the Lord says, "Yet you say, Israel, why should the son not bear the guilt of the father?" And the Lord answers, "Because the son has done what is lawful and right and has kept all my statutes and observed them. He shall surely live. The soul who sins shall die." The Son shall not bear the guilt of the Father, nor the Father bear the guilt of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. So even though God doesn't put the guilt of the Father's sin upon the children and vice versa, many times the children and others experience the fallout or the consequences of their father's sin and rebellion. History proves it. Even today, a father could be an alcoholic, and even though God's going to deal with him on his sin, his sons and his daughters, his kids, his family, they're going to pay the price. Not in the sense because they did anything wrong, but because of the consequence of the father, of how he's just going to be out to lunch. He's not going to be a good provider. Sometimes he's violent. Sometimes he's checked out emotionally. And so the family suffers. And then he loses his job. And now the father can't pay the income and doesn't have an income to support his family. And the family suffers because of the man, because of the sin of the man. And so God is saying to him, people around you are going to suffer because of you. But you are also going to have some difficulty as well, Jehoram. You're going to have a disease in your intestines, and it's going to get worse day by day until your intestines come out of you. That sounds pretty bad. Can anyone say amen? Actually, that's not something you want to say amen about, but it's a horrible thing. Moreover, verse 16, the Lord stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of the Philistines and the Arabians who were near the Ethiopians, and they came up into Judah, notice, and they invaded it, and they carried away all the possessions that were found in the king's house, and also his sons and his wives, so that there was not a son left to him except Jehoahaz, the youngest of these sons. And Jehoahaz is just another name for Ahaziah. In 2 Chronicles, in two chapters from now, in chapter 22, verse 1, it tells us that that's who it is, okay? So Jehoahaz is equivalent to Ahaziah. And you can put 2 Chronicles 22, verse 1. It corroborates that statement, okay? But after this, the Lord struck him in his intestines with an incurable disease. And then it happened in the course of time, after the end of 2 years, that his intestines came out because of his sickness. So he died in severe pain. No kidding. And his people made no burning for him like the burning for his fathers. There is more than likely a name for this disease that he had. We really don't know what it is. But this idea of burning was not the cremation like it sounds like, but rather it was a ceremony that was given. And a lot of times what they do is they put spices and ointments around the body, and they would light them, and it would give off this aroma, and it would be something they would do to honor the king that was a good king. But they didn't do it for him because he was a horrible king. In fact, when he finally died, the people were like, glad he's out of here. But he was 32 years old, verse 20, when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years, and to no one's sorrow he departed. However, they buried him in the city of David, but not in the tombs of the kings. Now, the city of David, do you remember the name of the city of David? What's it called? It starts with a Z. Zion, right? The city of David is Zion. And Zion is just a portion of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is like the city, but Zion is this little place. Actually, it's about 22 acres, but it's on the southern end of the Temple Mount today. And in fact, if you go to Israel, you visit David's Zion, where they have uncovered his palace. And they've even uncovered this place of the tombs of the kings. And the last two times I've been to Israel, we had walked right by those tombs. And they go back several feet into the embedded rock, and their bodies are no longer there, of course. But they would bury the good kings in those places right there in Zion. But with this man, because he was so evil, he was buried in Zion, but he was buried somewhere else, not with the other good kings, and rightfully so. Now let's get into 2 Chronicles chapter 22. Notice, then the inhabitants of Jerusalem, they made Ahaziah, his youngest son, king in his place. So Jehoram passes from the scene, and now Ahaziah is his youngest son. Excuse me. For the raiders who came with the Arabians into the camp had killed all the older sons. And so Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, he reigned. And do you ever notice just the unraveling? I mean, sometimes really difficult and hard things happen, right, to good people. And you know what I mean by good people. I mean, none of us are really good, but for those who are actually following the Lord, they love the Lord, and God is blessing their lives. But sometimes a believer will go through some very deep trials, some very difficult and hard things. And certainly God has a purpose and plan for these things, and we don't always understand what they are. But this man just... From the very beginning, it's just all these calamities came upon him. And you would think at some point he would just, you know, especially when he got the disease of the intestines, you know, that his father, Jehoram, would have cried out to the Lord and said, you know what, uncle, I give. I'm kind of that way. Whenever I go through something that's really painful, the first place I go, honestly, is to the Lord. I get on my face. And I say, Lord, I've done something. If I've done anything, I don't know if I have. And sometimes I know what it is. And sometimes I'm not sure. But I'm going to seek him. And I'm going to say, Lord, whatever it is that you want to show me through this, you've got my attention. And the Lord has a way of, and it's different for every person. And that's what I love about God is sometimes, the Bible says that he chastens those whom he loves. And even for us believers, he chastens us sometimes. And he knows exactly the amount of fire I need under me to get me to wake up to something, to turn my eye away from something, to go in a different direction, to repent, basically. He knows exactly how much fire I need under me to get me to respond. And some people, he brings the blowtorch and they're like, I'm not moving. And they go through much suffering. And they never cry out to God. They just continue to find their solace in the bottom of a bottle or with a needle in the arm or some other drug. They continue in their ridiculous behavior, numbing themselves. But Ahaziah, his youngest son, became king in his place, for the raiders who came with the Arabians into the camp had killed all the older sons. So Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, reigned. And notice, Ahaziah was 42 years old when he became king. Now, and he reigned one year in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Athaliah, this evil woman. We have already talked about her, the granddaughter of Omri, who was the progenitor, really, of the fourth dynasty in Israel. Now, there's something that you need to be aware of, and this is not like a huge deal, but there is a copyist error here. It says 42 years here in verse 2, but in 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 26, which is really just a parallel account of this, it says Ahaziah was 22 years old when he became king. And don't let any of this throw you, because the original scriptures were immaculate and flawless. But whenever there's a copyist, and if you know, and I'm not a Hebrew scholar by any means, but I do know something that when letters are written, and we've talked about this earlier, just with one little speck, one little dot or something like that, and the manuscript could have a flaw on it, and you could perceive it as being 42 when it was really 22. Does that make sense? Because literally one little curve, one little thing, and it changes the word. But the real number here is 22. And so Ahaziah, he reigned for 1 year, just 1 year. And this Athaliah, her name, get this, means afflicted of the Lord. Oh, honey, we had a child. What are we going to name her? Let's call her Afflicted of God. What a great name. That'd be like naming your son Judas now, you know? But her name means Afflicted of the Lord. And but verse 3, Ahaziah, he also walked, notice, in the ways of the house of Ahab, which is not a good thing, because Ahab was the king of Israel, the most ungodly king, one of the most ungodly kings in Israel had ever known. And notice, he walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother, Athaliah, advised him to do wickedly. And therefore, he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab, for they were his counselors after the death of his father, to his destruction. Notice. And notice the horrible influencers all around this young man. He had grown up in a house of idolatry and evil, and now his counselors, including his own mother, is this evil, evil woman. And other counselors continued to shape him in their evil mold. And so he always had a choice. And see, we always have a choice. Because he grew up in a house of evil, it doesn't mean that God's not going to hold him accountable. No, he knew. He knew what he was doing. He also followed their advice and went with Jehoram. Now, here's an interesting thing. Try not to get the names of these kings mixed up, because during a handful of years, there was an overlap of two kings that had the same name, Jehoram and Ahaziah. You found them in the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom roughly around the same time. So you really have to pay attention to which Jehoram is talking about, because we know that Jehoram was Ahaziah's father. He's already dead and gone, but now there's Jehoram, who is also a king in Israel in the northern 10 tribes. Do you follow me? And so pay attention to those things, otherwise you're going to get confused pretty quickly. And it's and he also followed their advice and went with Jehoram, notice, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, to war against Hazael, king of Assyria, at Ramoth-Gilead, and the Syrians wounded Joram. Joram, Jehoram, it's just a shortened name of his, usage of Jehoram, just Joram was easier. Now, what's interesting here to me is that Ahaziah now is, it's a very similar story like Ahaziah's grandfather, Jehoshaphat. If you remember back in chapter 18 and 19 of this very book, we just looked at that last week, that Jehoshaphat went to battle with Ahab, and he was wrong to do it, and the Lord spoke to him about it. But now Ahaziah, the king of Judah, now he's doing the same exact thing concerning the same location. He's going up to Ramoth-Gilead. Now, Ramoth-Gilead is, if you were to look at a map of Israel, and I didn't put this up here tonight, but if you had the Dead Sea here, and you had the Jordan River, and you had the Sea of Galilee here, then over here in modern-day Syria would be Ramoth-Gilead. And it belonged to Israel, but the kings of Assyria would take possession of that town. And back in chapter 18 and 19, the king at that time, Ahab, and he encouraged Jehoshaphat to go with him to overthrow this king, and it didn't go well at all. Jehoshaphat barely escaped his life. Ahab died in battle, and now his grandson is doing the very same thing. They're going against Ramoth-Gilead. Now there's a new king in power. His name is Hazael, the king of Syria. But unlike Jehoshaphat, Ahaziah would meet his demise at the hand of Jehu, who would be one whom God had anointed to root out Ahab and his descendants and Baal worship. And we'll look at that shortly. But verse 6, notice, then he, Joram, the king of Israel, he returned to Jezreel to recover from the wounds which he had received at Ramah when he fought against Hazael, king of Assyria. And Azariah, actually, this is a little spelling error here. It's supposed to be Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to see Jehoram, the son of Ahab, in Jezreel because he was sick. And his going to Joram was God's occasion for Ahaziah's downfall. Now, that sounds kind of weird, doesn't it? That it was because of that God was going to bring judgment upon Ahaziah. You know, he's going to go down to see this king of Judah because he got wounded in the battle. And in going, he's going to get caught in the crossfire. Because while Ahaziah was going to help Joram, king of Israel, go against Hazael, king of Syria, a man by the name of Jehu was coming against Joram. Now Joram, king of Israel, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, they joined in forces now to fight Jehu. And Jehu was just a man who wanted to overthrow the northern 10 tribes. And God told him to do it because of the idolatry of the northern kingdom. It got so bad that God says, Jehu, this is what I want you to do. And he sent a prophet, anointed Jehu as king over Israel, and says, now this is what I want you to do. And I know this sounds a little hard to understand, but God has a reason. And sometimes when we continue in rebellion and sin and we've gone on so far, the hammer drops. And God is a God of grace, but there's a time where God exacts judgment. And this is one of those places. Because God had warned Ahab, even when he went against Ramoth-Gilead, to try and recover it for themselves. The land belonged to them, but God told him not to do it. But he did it anyway. He disobeyed God. And even though the land belonged to them, when God says don't go, there's a good reason. Just step back. It doesn't make sense. Because a natural man, you know, when God tells him, well, why not? You know, if you try to tell a kid don't touch the glowing thing on top of the stove, well, why not? And then sure enough, you take the macaroni and cheese off the thing and you go to drain it in the sink and your little child goes up and hits the, you know, because why not? He told me not to, but it looks fun. And he gets burned. But God had warned Ahab through Elijah and Elisha that calamity was coming. And this man, Jehu, God was going to anoint to root out everyone from Ahab's family and the Baal worship that had been occurring in the northern tribes. And that's why God told Jehu to do it. But going back in history just a little bit here, through Elijah the prophet in 1 Kings chapter 21, notice what God says concerning Ahab, because his kingdom was so evil and because he was so evil. It says, behold, I will bring calamity on you, Ahab, your family. I will take away your posterity and I will cut off from Ahab every male in Israel, both bond and free. I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, because of the provocation with which you have provoked me to anger and made Israel sin. And concerning Jezebel, the Lord also spoke, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. The dog shall eat whoever belongs to Ahab and dies in the city, and the birds of the air shall eat whoever dies in the field. But there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord, because Jezebel, his wife, stirred him up, and he behaved very abominably in following idols, according to all that the Amorites had done, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. So it's because of this idolatry that God was going to raise up this man, Jehu. And to see this, what God had told Jehu to do, to come against the king of the northern 10 tribes, and now you have, you know, Ahaziah joining forces with Jehoram up in Israel, and now God has called Jehu to root out Ahab and everybody who belongs to him. And doesn't Ahaziah, isn't he now part of the family? Because he married Athaliah.
That's the end of our study today, but please join us next time as Pastor Rob continues our study in the book of 2 Chronicles. Calvary Chapel of Rochester is located at 2503 Browncroft Boulevard, Rochester, New York, 14625. You can reach us at our church office between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, at area code 585-586-3140. If you would like to have an audio CD of today's message mailed to you in its unedited form, simply mention today's date when contacting our church office. You can also contact us via the web by logging on to www.calvaryrochester.com. There you will be able to access a number of useful things, such as information concerning our beliefs, our ministries, contact information, our location, service times, and much more. You can also download or listen to the radio and sanctuary messages free of charge from the teachings link at the top of the page. To listen to Calvary Chapel of Rochester sanctuary messages or Truth in Christ Radio on your mobile device, just subscribe to both through Google Podcast or Apple Podcast. You're also invited to join us on Sunday and Thursdays through live streaming of our services and Bible studies. Just click on the online services link on the website. We're so glad that you could join us today. And if there is any way that we can bless you with your walk with Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to call our church office. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And for this cause, I have come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." May God bless you in abundance today as you walk with Him. And until next time, this has been Truth in Christ.